It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody. Insight, Jack Stogler, Neil Spencer, Rocker Bond Villain. And we welcome into studio high school principal, Mr. Tony Stahl. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
I am fantastic. It's hard not to be. The weather's starting to warm up a little bit.
We're getting there, hopefully.
Yes, finally. So this is a busy time of year for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's an understatement of the century, I think, right there. It's been busy, for sure.
Well, let's start with the really important stuff, okay?
Sure.
All the stuff you have going on at school kind of pales in comparison to what you got, kind of baking at home, I guess.
Right? We do. My wife and I are expecting our second kid any day now. The official date is the 15th, this Saturday. So really any time. So we're anxiously awaiting.
So if the phone rings, an hour to fill.
Yeah, hopefully he got a backup guest tonight. Can. So the phone is on.
That's
so
good.
That is cool. And this is your second child?
Yep, second kid. Yep, second
and
kid.
He or she will be welcomed home by a brother.
Brother, yep, older brother. So we have one, a son, Beckett, and he'll be two in August, so he's 21 months old. And then the other one, we're waiting, boy or girl, don't know yet, so.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Well, I wish you luck.
Thank you.
So, wrapping up your first year as the high school principal.
Correct.
Just another typical high school year, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways it is. I know it's, everybody has been, all aspects of everybody's life has really been, turned upside down in a lot of different areas. And obviously schools are no different. In a lot of ways it's been very different. There's been more protocol we've been having to follow, more, procedures that we're having to do, just extra time and steps that kind of take away, from other things we could be doing. And then obviously we took some steps to kind of limit student interactions with other students, like things like field trips and large student assemblies, things like that we haven't really done this year. So obviously it kind of impacts what a normal quote-unquote school year looks like. But at the same time, we've done a lot of the same, same things that we've, and that's been our goal, from the beginning, is try to make it as normal as possible. And I think we've been able to do at least part of that. So
when you compare it to what the seniors of the class of 2020 had to go through, they didn't. I don't think they had a prom, right?
No prom.
There was no prom. There was no baseball season. There was no softball season.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the spring concerts canceled. OMEA stuff for the band ratings canceled. Award ceremonies, all that stuff.
Yeah, so, the fact that you pretty much were able to go through the entire school year, and while the protocols changed, you were able to have most of the events that you would have hoped for.
Yeah. I mean, all of our seasons and things, especially in the winter and in the fall season, we did kind of take some precautions of moving senior night and things up. So those definitely did not run as smooth. At the beginning of the year, we were, that first football game of the season, well, we were like, well, we're doing it, but I don't know how long we're going to be doing it kind of mentality. So we definitely tried to get some things in and kind of front load it to because, we didn't know what sort of season it would end up being. So that was definitely a little chaotic at the beginning and making sure that we had, the different things set up according to the state that we needed to. So definitely a little stressful at the beginning. But, once it got going, it was good. People definitely, I think, were understanding of, we were asking them to do certain things, and people were really good about it for the most part. So that really made it a lot easier.
Well, and, just from the parents that I talked to, everybody was so thankful to be able to play or get together or do the things that they were able to do compared to last spring, that a few extra hoops to jump through really didn't hardly faze them at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that was, you know, really helped smooth a lot of things over, especially at the beginning there when we were trying to figure it all out too, you know, kind of as we went into the school year and not knowing exactly how it was going to end up. People definitely were thankful just to be out there, you know, playing volleyball or basketball or whatever it was. So, and that's one thing that I'm glad you brought up. One of the things we talked about the other day was what would it be worse as a senior last year who had a normal year for about 75% of the year, completely normal,
yeah,
and then had nothing, or, you know, this year where it was the whole year that was a little, everything was a little different. It wasn't quite 100% the same. So I don't know. I would err on the side of, you know, at least something's better than nothing. So
without a doubt. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about some of the COVID precautions and talk about the upcoming graduation coming up here in 10 days or so. So we'll be back right after this.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only 5 1/4. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The tickets for all the Indian softball tournament games this year will be sold online only. There will be no tickets available at the gate as in years past. To buy your tickets, go to OHSAA.org/tickets, then select softball, then Wapakoneta, then get tickets. Tickets are on sale now. Please pass the word so none of our fans get shut out of the games. Again, there will be no tickets available at the gate for any of the softball tournament games this year. All tickets must be purchased online at OHSAA.org/tickets.
We're back. Insight. High school principal, Mr. Tony Stahl. So, you know, we were talking about the, you know, COVID changes and stuff. So, you know, right now, if I went in to spend a day at the high school, okay, went to classes, lunch, what would be different than what I might be used to from a couple years ago?
Well, I mean, the normal day-to-day schedule is pretty consistent. I mean, a couple of the big things that we're doing is, you know, obviously guests coming into the building, we're asking that, you know, they take a temperature check towards the beginning of the year. We're not doing that so much anymore. You know, ask them a couple of questions, make them wear a mask, go around the building, and try to, you know, make sure that we're moving around the hallways as much as we can when we're moving with a mask on. You know what I mean? It was kind of the beginning of the year, you know, mentality that we took going into the school year. And then things like lunch, you know, we've usually the students all line up in one big line. we took that away, and so the students have to go sit down, and they don't really have assigned seats, but they usually sit in the same exact seat, so it kind of actually works out. And then we have some staff members down there that dismiss them kind of by table, so there's, you know, only a lot smaller number lining up in the lunch line and going through the lunch line. We did get, you know, in some classrooms, like some plexiglass dividers, you know what I mean, and kind of, you know, change some seating arrangements or furniture arrangements, or provided some different pieces of equipment in there. You know, like in lunch, a plexiglass shield between the kiosk terminal person and the students going through the line. So things like that, you know, kind of small things, you know, are really the biggest differences. You know, we, like I said, we tried at the beginning of the year to keep it as similar looking for students as possible. So
do you think any of those changes you made, that's not a bad idea, let's keep them permanent? Is there some of that? Or are we going to try to just play it by ear as it goes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the mask thing and the plexiglass divider thing, that's why I would be the first guy to hopefully get rid of all that as soon as we can.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe,
I mean,
at the lunch line or something.
The lunch line is, it seems to be doing okay, because what was happening, and this is my first year, so I don't really have anything to compare it to, but talking to some staff members, you know, the kids, when the lunch bell rings, that's like, you know, a wild stampede down to there. And so, but if there is no incentive to get there first, it kind of keeps kids, you know, I was actually talking to a teacher today that said, you know, because I was talking about it for next year, and they said, you know, I kind of like it, because these kids were in a science lab today, and they stayed an extra couple of minutes and finished some things up for me, and then helped me clean up, and then they went to lunch, you know. And so there's no incentive to just be, you know, screaming down the hallway. So that might stick around. I don't know. We'll see. But that might be one thing that hangs around.
Yeah, but the plexiglass dividers in the classrooms, that has to be extremely impersonable and not,
well, and they're hard to, it's a lot of extra surfaces to clean. Yes. You know, for like Bonnie and Esther up there, it's just a lot of extra surfaces to clean, extra things to touch, you know, so it definitely adds time to that. And that's the other thing too, all, you know, staff members have different spray bottles and hand sanitizer and things like that we put in other classrooms, but it's all, you know, somebody has to organize it and get it out, clean it, take care of it. It's just extra steps, you know, of an already tight schedule. So
and extra expense on an already tight budget.
Yep, absolutely.
Was there any real disruption in the school year because of COVID?
You know, other than, like, you know, some of the schedule changes and, you know, lack of visitors, like, you know, college recruiters or military recruiters or assemblies, things like that, you know, or field trips. You know, I know the FFA had a lot of things that they missed out on that they had to do virtually.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, they're giving, you know, these hands-on soil judging, engine, you know, machine parts, you know, and they're doing it on a video and an online, you know, assessment, which is not great. So things like that were probably the biggest, you know, from a curriculum standpoint. I'm trying to think. There was probably a time in, obviously, with like subs and quarantining, you know, different staff members either being exposed or testing positive themselves throughout the course of the school year. There's a couple of times where we had to adjust, you know, student schedules to ensure that we had enough coverage, you know what I mean? And that was probably, you know, October, November were probably tough, you know, with that. And, you know, there were some discussions like, man, how long can we keep going with what we're doing? But, you know, we got through it, and everybody pulled a lot of their own weight and then some this year. So I'm very thankful to the staff and students and parents and everything for helping out. It's definitely a team effort.
So we made it through COVID, and we are getting ready to celebrate the class of 2021. And so, you know, first of all, when is graduation?
Graduation is Sunday, May 23rd at 2 p.m. at Fortside.
Okay, good.
At the gym,
So what will be different? Just there's not going to be as many people there?
Yeah. We're, you know, as it currently stands right now, we're limited to a certain capacity based off of our seated, you know, total gym capacity. And so it equates to about 8 tickets a kid is what we've, you know, kind of vouchered for. So those were distributed to all of our seniors, graduating seniors. So they have those 8 tickets to distribute to family, friends, whoever they want. So that's going to be probably the biggest change, is that it's just not going to be, you know, like every other event, basketball game, promenade, you know, all those things we've done this year. It's going to be limited capacity. And so hopefully, you know, we can have limited capacity, spread people out, you know, the floor seating We're going to spread the students out. You know, that'll be probably the biggest difference. There was some talk of doing it, you know, outside, but there's a lot of logistic factors and weather is an issue. So we wanted to kind of keep it and kind of get back to the traditional gymnasium setup. And yeah, so
we did get lucky last year. Yeah. There was some drizzle, but yeah, not much, and it wasn't enough to keep people away, but it wouldn't have been hard for that to be a horrible mess, yeah, but it turned out very nice.
Yeah, it worked out real slick, yeah, real slick. So, but yeah, that was thrown around. You know, we definitely had talked about that. We'd have a little bit more. Yeah,
people
capacity
did like that.
Yeah,
part of what they liked though was that they only had to go for the little bit for their, you know, sure. So they didn't get, except for the very first ones, they didn't get to hear the valedictorian and salutatorian speeches.
Yeah, yeah, and that's one of the things that we talked about. You know, those students that are, you know, work hard for that, and I think yeah, it's a good opportunity for those guys to have a time yes, to address their peers in that mm-hmm, kind of formalized setting, yep, to get some recognition. So hopefully we get back to a pretty normal, and we're doing some other things with you know ticket entrance and kind of spreading people out and things like that. But for the most part, attendance will be the biggest difference.
Will it be televised, or you know, is it going to be?
Yeah, we are going to live stream it onto the Facebook.
On the NFHS?
Yep. We're going to have it on NFHS. It'll be on there. It'll be in the gymnasium. It'll be an event that you can watch. And then we are going to live stream it, especially when the graduates come down. You know, we're going to kind of have them at that corner when they get off the stage. So hopefully, because, you know, watching that NFHS camera, it's kind of impersonal. You know, yes, kind of up there in a yeah, bird's eye view. So we're going to try. I mean, it's going to yeah, be, you know, the best we can do with our
yeah, yeah,
production quality, so yeah, we'll give it a shot.
It's better than not having anything.
Absolutely.
But it's by far a lot yeah, better than absolutely, not having anything.
But yeah, we'll be live streaming on district social media, Facebook, things like that.
And we'll be recognizing how many graduates?
69. We have 69 students graduating this.
So that's a pretty good size class.
Yeah, yep, yep. Real solid, almost, you know, almost 70 kids, real solid.
And the valedictorian and salutatorian?
Hope Wendell. Val and Sal is Ava Bupp.
Very good. So with the seniors that are graduating, is there still some sort of a testing requirement? You know, there's like the OGT or something.
Yeah, the OGT was the one. Yep, they're end of course exams now is what we call them. And seniors, the way we kind of structure our... So the short answer is yes. There are requirements, testing requirements, credit requirements, things like that students have to hit, you know, certain check marks. Now, there has been granted quite a bit of flexibility with that for the graduating seniors this year and next yeah, year, obviously, and then obviously last year, just due to COVID, you know, and the inability to take some of those tests and just the breakup of instruction, you know, so the state kind of has waived some of those things. But there are, you know, certain testing requirements that seniors have to meet. The way we set it up at our school, Fort Recovery High School, is it's kind of geared towards the freshmen and sophomores. Is okay, where those courses that are tested are a little bit more heavy, and then hopefully by the time you're a senior, you know, you've had an opportunity, if you need to retake them.
Yeah.
And there's a little extra buffer zone, you know, there at the okay, tail end of their high school career if they need it to do some retakes, things like that. But that's kind of how it's roughly structured.
100% graduation rate?
No, not this year.
Nope.
Not this year. So, okay.
So when, like, you look at our high school and our high school grade card, okay, how does it rank
compared to, you know, the state average? I mean, I would say very high, you know, yeah, compared to state average. You know, I think if you look, I definitely think we're competitive in the MAC. You know, the thing with the report card that is challenging over the last couple of years, obviously with COVID, has really, yeah, you know, and even moving forward, like the lack of data that we're going to have based on test scores. I mean, this is going to be, you know, 2-3 years down the road before the dust settles on a lot of this. And that I think, and even up to COVID, they were making some changes. Like you had said, we went from, you know, the Ohio graduation test a couple of years ago to then the AIR test and the end of course assessments. And then they changed some of those requirements. They've changed the scores, what you have to get on those tests. And so there's been kind of this constant moving target for, you know, for where we're supposed to get. And so I think, you know, some years we perform better in some areas, and then other years, you know, based off maybe on something on our end, but maybe on something the state changed the indicator, you know, it just kind of makes it hard to really get a good feel. And that's one thing I think, you know, from a principal standpoint and an administrator, it's frustrating from ODE to kind of have to continually navigate new things every year.
The goalpost is always moving.
Is it the Ohio Board of Education or whatever that makes these rules, or is it the state legislators, or combination of all of that, or
Kind of how it works is it's the, you know, state legislatures kind of put, you know, enact a law and then kind of leave it up to, you know, ODE to kind of determine, you know, how schools are going to then meet that new, like you said, field goal post.
So my real question is, are any of these people making the rules, have any of them ever been in a school system on a regular basis? Because it to a lay person, some of this stuff looks just so stupid. We know we have a great school system.
Yeah.
And virtually every school for 20, 30 miles around us does. But sometimes you just get these bizarre numbers on these assessments that don't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean,
To a layperson. Now, maybe they make perfect sense to the educators, but to me, it's, a lot of that stuff just isn't.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and I would like to think, you know, somebody somewhere is getting some sort of input from educators.
From real people.
You know, and they do. I think, you know, and I'm not, this level that we're talking about is a little bit higher than what I'm involved in the day-to-day in the middle school, so I can't speak, you know, a lot to it. But, you know, I know our, you know, the local superintendents do a pretty good job. You know, there's some professional organizations that I know they're involved in that they work with our legislators, and they have, I think, the ear of those guys and girls a little bit more, you know, than I think has happened in the past. I think it's getting to be a little bit more where, you know, those types of roles, like a school superintendent, is kind of getting to be a little bit more, you know, involved, in that type of setting to kind of change, you know, what's happening in Columbus and maybe have some more input from people in the field, like principals and superintendents, things like that. So it's definitely, you know, changing a little bit. But I think the administrators around here kind of do a good job at least staying current with it and staying on top of what's going on and what's changing.
So you're wrapping up your first year as high school principal, okay? Was it what you thought it was going to be?
I mean, it was probably that and then some. I mean, that and then some. It's definitely, I mean, I would describe it like drinking water through a fire hose. It was, you know, definitely a learning on the job experience.
Especially in the early stages of it. I mean, you know, you were coping with so many changes because of the COVID at the very beginning and walking on eggshells and, you know, having to worry if the County Board of Health would show up and
and that maybe I don't know if that, you know, it was like, well, heck, just throw another log on the fire, why not, you know, kind of that mentality. Maybe I don't know. The biggest thing, it really helped, I think, for me at least, being, you know, in the middle school for 4 years in the district, you know what I mean, for at least 4 years, and having a good sense of a lot of the staff members and also a lot of the students and a lot of their parents. You know, I've dealt with, you know, the last or had a chance to make relationships or get to know people, you know, over those 4 years, and then to follow that group of kids for the most part, because the current seniors were my first eighth graders. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I would have had all those guys at least for a year. Yeah. So that, I think, in and of itself, that really helped. You know, at least I knew who some of the bus drivers were and some of the custodians and what this person did in the central office. You know, I knew all of those people. I never obviously, you know, worked directly with a lot of the high school staff. We do have some shared staff between the buildings that I knew a little bit better than other staff members. So it was getting to know a lot of, you know, new teachers, but, you know, I had at least, I knew them. I had talked to them at some point over the last couple of years and had a beginning of a relationship. So I think that definitely helped.
Yeah. So, as the high school principal, what is your role in in the extracurricular process. So do you determine what we offer? Do you determine who coaches, teaches, does those things, or you, how's that done?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer is yes. You know, I kind of have a little bit of at least, you know, maybe not say, but at least oversight, or I'm involved with or consulted on a lot of those different decisions. Obviously with athletics, you know, the athletic director takes a lot of the lead in those types of positions, you know, filling coaching supplementals and, you know, those types of positions. You know, depending on the position, I might be in on different interviews or things like that. But the majority of the extracurriculars then on the other side, the non-athletic side, like our, you know, Spanish club advisors and, you know, the drama club, things like that, you know, those are supplementals that, you know, I kind of work with the staff to get renewed every year and yep. then kind of, you know, provide as much support as I can. You know, we got a lot of really good teachers that, you know, take these things each year and kind of have made it their own and do a lot of really great stuff with them. And I kind of just view my job on, you know, how can I get one more barrier out of their way so yep. they can keep doing cool things with their group of kids. So that's kind of how I view my big role. So that, you know, it kind of depends. Sometimes it is, you know, right now we're still a Scholastic Bowl advisor for next year. So if anybody out there wants to be our Scholastic Bowl advisor
Rocker?
For, yep.
You in?
Rocker, we need one. So 21, 22 Scholastic Bowl, you know, so, you know, it's not a perfect system. You know, yeah. sometimes things go unfilled and we have to, you know, kind of move on. But, you know, for the most part, we got a lot of really dedicated teachers that are willing to go above and beyond outside the classroom to pick up stuff like that. And I just try to do, you know, that in and of itself is a hard task, you know, so I try to just make it, how can I make it even easier for those yeah. individuals?
So, you know, being in HR, I tend to focus on the people part of things, okay? So when you look at your challenges, let's call them, how many, you know, so what percent of your time is, like, parent-related versus student-related versus teacher-related?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, I think, you know, being in education is that it's all, you know, no matter what you're talking about people, you know, yeah. it's our we don't really have a product per se, you know, yeah. at the end of the day, it's a person, it's the, you know, 69 graduates here that are going into the workforce or higher ed or whatever it is, military, whatever it is they're doing. So I think that's important. I think one of the biggest things is, you know, that I always try to remember is, you know, it's people, not programs. It's people, not programs. And so I think, you know, the more time you can invest in being proactive and putting yourself out there and getting to know people and, you know, developing good relationships with people, it kind of helps, you know, make things smoother in the future. You know what I mean? You're kind of putting in time in the bank, and then hopefully you can take out a cash out later when maybe a tough situation arises. You know what I mean? And I might have to make a decision that a parent disagrees with. You know yeah. what I mean? But I've talked to that parent, you know, a couple dozen other times in a couple dozen different other settings, you know, and I think there might be a little bit more of a level of trust there. And so that decision sure. can be navigated a little bit more, you know, cleanly. You know, should those things arise. And so that's definitely, you know, when you have a place like a school, an organization that has a lot of different stakeholders involved, you know, it tends, conflict is unavoidable at times. And I think as much as you can do to develop good relationships with people, it really does, you can pay a lot of dividends in the future.
Very good. I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break. And we're going to come back and find out what kind of student was Tony Stahl. And we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Spring is a busy time of year, and who has time to cook? Let Mary Colleen's be your go-to for effortless meals on those busy days. From their wings, salads, subs, sandwiches, and deep-fried goodies to their awesome pizza, let Mary Colleen's take care of feeding your family. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them at 375-4274, then drive through and pick it up. They open at 3 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and 11 a.m. on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, closed Mondays. Call them to reserve your lanes for birthday parties and other special events. Be sure to stop by for their pizza wing and salad bar buffet on Fridays at lunch. Mary Colleen's, 375-4274. Here are the softball and baseball games coming up the rest of this week. The Lady Indians defeated Ridgemont in the sectional semifinal game and will now play at Lincoln View in the sectional final game tomorrow night. Also tomorrow, the boys will travel to Wapakoneta, and that game can be heard on Fort Recovery Radio. Friday, the boys will host Franklin Monroe in their last regular season game, and that game will be on Fort Recovery Radio. On Saturday, the Lady Indians will play an MAC makeup game at Minster, and if they win, they will share the MAC championship with Minster and Coldwater with league records of 5-2. Get out and support our Indians teams this week, but if you just can't get there to cheer them on, we'll bring you all the games we can right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight.
Oh, in addition to that announcement you just heard about the upcoming games, the girls' softball game at Minster, we are going to broadcast on Fort Recovery Radio. That is, the girls will be playing on Saturday, and if they would beat Minster, they would end up in a three-way tie for first place in the MAC. So the boys don't have a game that day, and we are going to broadcast that. We've been broadcasting some of the games on Sports Stream 2. This one will be on actual Fort Recovery Radio because there's no baseball game.
Would this be our first share of the MAC
in a long, football? Long time. I'll have to look, but I think we had one quite a while ago,
yeah.
But I couldn't tell you for sure. I'll take a little look here. See,
so as like we exited out of the into the commercial, I said we're going to find out what kind of student Tony Stahl was.
I was trying to distract you from that.
I was hoping.
A student valedictorian kind of guy?
No, definitely not. Definitely not a student valedictorian for sure. But not that bad either.
Yeah.
I was pretty solid. I stayed out of the principal's office for the most part.
Yeah.
Frank Griesdorn was my principal. So, and academic wise, I was not an NHS guy. I was not, not even really an honor roll guy.
Yeah.
That was kind of hit or miss. If I made the honor roll, that was a good.
Yeah,
that was a good quarter.
That just means that you avoided those classes that you hated.
Yeah, I mean, I was. Yeah. That's the biggest thing I think. Looking back, regret wise, I wasn't a bad student, but I definitely did not put forth, a lot of effort. Wasn't really a go getter high school student.
But doesn't that kind of help you relate and understand the different students that are coming down the hall every day?
Well, I think so. I think to me, because that was my high school experience, and it was a good high school experience. I was involved in a lot of stuff, three sport athlete, so I think that was, I just wish I would have given it more.
Sure.
That I think is my biggest, what I like to see students, kind of max out their potential, like get involved in things, try stuff. I mean, this is real in the big scheme of things, doesn't really mean a whole lot if you're successful in this club or you get this grade or, I think trying to take that class, like you had said, that's a little bit harder than maybe what you can or can't handle, try it. I mean, give yourself a shot, put yourself out there. You know, because really it's a proving ground. You're prepping. You're getting ready for that next step where you graduate. And then it does really start to play for keeps and really mean something out there in the real world. So that's kind of one of my biggest thoughts. And that, I think, maybe drives in the back of my mind when I have conversations with kids and trying to encourage them to do things and, you know, kind of handle a little adversity and maybe bite off a little bit more than you can chew as a kid, because that's all right now. Figure out how much you can really handle and push yourself a little bit, because I did not. And that was one of the things that I probably regret the most.
And to understand at that age when you think adults are stupid,
you know, yeah, yeah.
To you know, understand, you know, that it's about making memories and being part of something bigger than you are, you know.
Yep.
And, kids don't understand that, and they think, you know, I'll just work. You know, and they miss out on a lot of tremendous memories.
Too. Yep, that's why I tell them, you know, a lot of kids all the time, you know, this is 4 years you're not going to get back. This is going to be 4 years that you'll, you know, that are going to be different than any other 4 years, you know, hereafter. You know, it's going to be, you know, work and mortgages and finding different
babies.
Yeah, a lot of babies, you know, so it's not going to get any easier. And so really try, you know, put yourself out there, get involved with some fun stuff, make some memories, make some mistakes, you know, learn from them and grow. So by the time you're ready to graduate, that you are prepared, you know, you've handled a lot, you've seen a lot, you've experienced a lot, and you know, you're ready to go for that next level, whatever that might be. And that might be, that's, you know, that's the goal. Get them ready for the next opportunity.
I don't know whether you'd have this number or not, but like, so if you take the number, you know, 70, you multiply by 4, so out of 280 to 300 kids that are in the high school, how many of them are involved in some sort of an extracurricular thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the exact number. We did some information on this. We were looking at the beginning of the year. I mean, it was like 60%, and this was for fall extracurricular events.
Okay.
So this was a little bit, it's not necessarily spring. We haven't done a recent survey, but this is in the fall of this school year. It was like 60-some percent of seniors were involved in some sort of fall extracurricular activity. So, you know, that could be marching band, football team, you know, cross country, whatever.
Music,
Yep, that was like, it was 61, 62. It was a little bit over 60% of one grade.
Okay.
And for the whole high school, it was over the 50% mark. So, I mean, and that was just one season, you know what I mean? So that doesn't count, you know, a one sport, you know, baseball guy, that's all I do is baseball. You know, that would not count that student. So it's, you know, 50 to 70, maybe even 70 to 80 in terms of at least one extracurricular.
Okay.
Would be my guess. That's my rough guess. It's pretty high.
You know, probably in the fall, we had Larry Brown in, and he shared the new kind of mission vision statement, I think, and the new plan.
Mm-hmm.
So from your standpoint, at the beginning of the year, were there certain goals that you set for the school year that you'll be looking at here soon?
Yeah, I mean, well, to be 100% truthful, this year, I think there was one goal, and that was just get through this sucker, you know, personally.
Well, you know, and to be able to stay in school.
I think that was kind of the overarching goal, was stay in school, keep it in school, keep it as normal as possible.
He kind of played it down as if that wasn't a big goal, but that's a huge goal.
Yeah, that was really, and we had, you know, because we do, you know, we have some, you know, there's administrative teams that meet over the summer and stuff, and the principals are in, and we're talking, and we're working, and, you know, usually that's not the case. You know, usually we do have some, and we do have, you know, through this school year, again, another thing that was on top of everything else going on that you had mentioned, Mr. Brown, the superintendent, going through, was that culture commitment guide with the district leadership team, kind of putting some of those, you know, goals to paper for moving, you know, the district forward. But, you know, at the beginning of this year, it was, let's just stay in school and keep things as normal as possible. And that was just that was all hands on deck. Let's just do this. But there are, I mean, there's definitely things, you know, I do kind of a, you know, post-year surveys with staff to kind of develop some of my own personal goals. And then we have a staff leadership team. You know, we had a meeting this afternoon after school that we're working at, kind of revamping our freshman orientation, for the fall. You know what I mean? So that's wasn't necessarily a goal, wasn't really on the radar at the beginning of the year as something, hey, you know, we want to get done. But, you know, as the year's kind of somewhat come to a close and got a little bit less chaotic with the COVID stuff, we've been able to focus our sights on next year. So we are having a little bit, but nothing as systematic and long term as I would have liked. The big goal is just let's get it done.
Through it.
Yep, get through it and get it done this year. So
yeah. So you know, one of the developments I think at the high school level that has really kind of morphed over the years is the role that TriStar plays. You know, it you know, used to be if you went to the vocational school that it created a wedge in that relationship with the high school. And I don't, you know, it sure doesn't seem like that's there anymore.
Yeah, no, that is one thing, too, that's really opened up my eyes, you know, from a middle school to high school standpoint, is just the amount of options available for, you know, a high school student. You know, we have tons of different things from, you know, college credit plus options for taking some college classes, both in school as well as out of school. You know, we offer some of those at Fort Recovery, but you can also take them elsewhere. Obviously, the TriStar programs has, you know, dozens of different programs out there. We have, you know, internship or co-op opportunities for our senior students to kind of get out of the school and go place at a job that they can then kind of take half classes and half work. So just the sheer, you know, and then there's some other things at TriStar with like career-based intervention for students that want to, you know, kind of go out into the workforce on a little bit more than not necessarily a TriStar program, but more just focus on the work piece through TriStar. There's that option. So that has been the biggest, I think, eye-opener for me. And we have a fantastic guidance counselor that I have, you know, Amy Kaiser does a great job of kind of keeping me organized and helping me, you know, kind of know a little bit about, because that's been a huge learning curve for me.
Sure.
But there's tons of options. And you're right, the stigma of going to TriStar or even leaving the building, you know, there's a lot of reasons why kids are leaving the building. It's in and out constantly. So
of the senior class, out of those, you know, 69, how many of them attend a class outside of Fort Recovery High School? Like either through Wright State, through TriStar, through a different program?
Yeah, if you're including TriStar in the mix, I would say probably maybe a third to 40% maybe would be a rough guess. 30%, maybe about one out of every three in terms of a college, have access to a College Credit Plus class or a TriStar class or some other opportunity. Maybe even internship, if I threw that in there, like a co-op, that number might even be a little higher.
Yeah. So is there any online classes that kids can take? You know, I said online, but I'm thinking more like the distance learning type stuff. There's a time when I think maybe like a different foreign language may have been offered in that type of thing. Is that still out there?
Yeah, I mean, there are. I mean, we have access to some resources that would provide that for students if they wanted to take, you know, like Japanese or something. That's, you know, we don't offer that, but that would be something that if a kid was interested, you know, we have a program at school. And now, obviously, we do have a virtual academy this year. That was another COVID kind of development that I forgot to mention earlier, but we did create kind of the Fort Recovery Virtual Academy.
How many did we have doing that?
District-wide, I'm not sure. I think in the high school, we have about 10 to 12, so maybe, you know, somewhere in that range. And so not a whole lot, but a chunk of students. Yep. And so, you know, that program gives us access to some courses that, you know, in normal circumstances, we usually use for, like, credit recovery. If a kid failed a class and need to kind of get up, you know, kind of caught up, there's a little flexibility with those schedules. But there also are other classes that we would have access to.
Yep. Very good. So I tell you what, let's take another break. And we'll come back and talk about the staff, any new teachers retiring, that type of thing. So we'll be back right after this.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. ForRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Spring is in the air, and so is the smell of great steaks on the grill. Wayne Street Market has everything you need for a great cookout. They have nicely trimmed steaks ready to go, and their ground chuck is $3.39 a pound, bulk or patties. Eckrich hot dogs are two for $3, and packages of Swaggerty brats are $3.99. And check out their fully cooked smoked pork chops. And it's time to get your catering orders in for your graduation party. From chicken to their party trays, fruit and veggie trays, sandwich trays, and of course their famous meat and cheese trays. Get it all at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around. Be sure to tune in to Fort Recovery Radio every Saturday morning at 7:15 a.m. for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. He'll give us some expert advice and timely tips on what we need to do to keep our lawns and gardens healthy. You can email him questions for future shows at steve@naturesgreennursery.com. Be sure to tune in every Saturday morning for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone, 7:15 a.m. on Fort Recovery Radio.
Give me 10 seconds.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Ready, Jack?
I'm ready.
Okay.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, high school principal, Mr. Tony Stahl. And we have covered a lot of stuff. And, you know, I have never, I'm always amazed at the, you know, dedication of our staff. You know, whether you're talking about from the preschool all the way up, and it just makes the school, you know. So at the high school level, are there any new teachers on board?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to talk about Mr. Vasey. Charlie Vasey is our new government teacher. He was not new this year. His first year was last year.
Okay.
But I think probably that got lost in the COVID shuffle, you know what I mean? So he is new. This is his second year, to be completely fair. But his first year last year, you know, he was out, you know, just like the kids. He was trying to figure it all out with going from home immediately, working in a district. So he is new in the high school. But like I said, technically a second year guy. So.
And then, so are there any of the high school teachers that are planning on retiring that you're aware of?
Not this year. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, and I'm pretty confident when saying that none this year. So we're going to be relatively similar. I mean, obviously with Brent Niekamp, the athletic director, moving into a teaching role, that's going to be a different teacher.
What's he going to be teaching?
Special ed.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yep. Yeah. So he'll be kind of doing a flexible schedule for us all throughout the day. But yeah, so I mean, you know, not new people, just kind of different roles a little bit. You know, so that'll mess a couple other things up, but same people in the building at the high school. Yep.
Well, good. So as like you look at the end of the year, okay, and you know, with the understanding that survival was the name of the game, keeping the kids within those four walls.
Yep.
Okay. But what went well?
I think, you know, one thing I'm particularly proud of this year, I think, would be, you know, just the fact that our district, and even districts around, you know, not necessarily just for recovery, but, you know, made a kind of a real big commitment, you know, to the students in the community to kind of stay, you know, we're going to try to do what we can to be in session, to have as normal of events as we can. And that took, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, community members or parents or, you know, people outside the school don't see. I mean, there's, you know, people were covering classes for other people. People are trying to remote teach and kind of keep a classroom going from home. And so they're texting, they're calling, they're emailing and other staff members that are in the building to kind of help get that ready, but then go teach my class. You know, different people, you know, picking up bus routes, covering things, you know, at 6:30, 7 in the morning. So, you know, because a bus driver went on quarantine. Just, you know, there's a million little things like that that, you know, we kept kind of putting in the jar to kind of get to the end of the year. And there's countless people that have done it, you know, from coaches stepping up to support staff and teachers covering. And you know, it's just been tremendous. So I just think that is, and that really has very little to do with me. You know, I just happened to be the guy. You know, that was in charge of the high school this year. But, you know, that it really just says a lot about our kids, our staff, and just the people that work there. And that was just, it's just great to be a part of. So, like I said, maybe not an accomplishment for me, but definitely for the school and the staff members, for sure.
Substitute teachers, was that easier, harder, about the same as regular years? Or did that?
No, way harder.
That's what I assumed, but
that list, I don't know right now. I knew them at one time, but there was, I think, approximately, you know, maybe like 300 people on that sub list for the whole county. So there's a county sub.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
You know, mm-hmm. But I think that went down to like maybe around 200 or something like that. So it was, you know, it was already a relatively small list, and then going into this year, it was even smaller. And I'm not You know, those numbers might not be accurate, but it was a substantially, you know, smaller number going into this school year.
Yeah, and even in regular year, a lot of those people aren't available every day. So when you call them, they have something else going on.
Absolutely.
You know, doctor's appointment, they're on a week's vacation, or they're not feeling good that day, or their kid's not feeling good. So there's all kinds of things that in a regular year that sometimes makes it a little...
Sure.
We'll call it interesting to try to come up with somebody. So I just wondering how that was this year.
Well,
I kind of assumed it was harder, but sometimes since, you know, of course, now almost everybody's back to work. But for, you know, a few months ago, a year ago, lots of people weren't working and they were, you know, they'd be happy to go do something.
Well, and we really have, you know, we are extremely lucky at Fort Recovery to have a very kind of small but dedicated and very helpful kind of contingent of retired staff members that are still very active in the school, that are willing to come in and help and are flexible and just do a fantastic job. You know what I mean? I would start naming them, but I'm going to forget somebody.
Yeah.
But they know who they are, and I am extremely appreciative
of
that group of people.
And, you know, I guess COVID might have helped a little bit because a lot of those might have gone on vacation, but they weren't allowed to go anywhere last fall. So, you know, they were at home. So, you know, they're and probably any excuse to get out and
you know,
see actual live people would be a good thing.
For sure.
So, that's great.
So I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break, right? We have to take another one, right?
Yep. And okay. So you got some more with Tony, and then we got Rocker?
We got Rocker, too. Rocker's out. Rocker's out. Okay. Bubba just said Rocker's out.
This is your show, Jack. You get to decide.
But you know what? I've jumped into Bob's time once or twice.
Yep.
That's so. Okay. You can go. Because this is probably next week's last week, maybe.
Yeah. So I guess Rocker might be out because Bubba's in his seat.
And I know it. So we'll be back right after this.
Forrest Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forrest, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forrest Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forrest Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
The Village of Fort Recovery is having its annual spring cleanup day for our village residents this Saturday. They start picking up the items very early that day, so please have your items at the curb by 5 a.m. You'll need to have your small items bundled or boxed, and you can't have items longer than 6 feet long. They cannot pick up tree limbs or yard waste, wet paint cans, tires, railroad ties, bricks, rocks, or concrete items of any kind. Appliances and other metal items will be picked up. There's a limit of 2 large furniture items per household. Get your pickup items ready. Spring cleanup day for village residents will be this Saturday, and you'll need to have your items at the curb by 5 a.m.
We're back. Insight. Talking about all kinds of stuff here during the break. Tony, it has been awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Let's touch again on the graduation stuff. Okay. Graduation is...
Sunday, May 23rd, 2 p.m. Yep, May 23rd, 2 p.m.
At Fort Site Fieldhouse.
Yep, it'll be in the gymnasium. Yep, be in the gymnasium. Students have gotten the vouchers, the tickets this week, so those should be, you know, parents, if you're listening, if you haven't got one from your son or daughter yet, ask them. They should have them. And we're going to have an information newsletter kind of sent out here towards the end of this week with detailing some of that information to the parents. So,
limited or wide open?
It'll be 8 per graduate. So it'll be about, you know, 25% of our seating capacity. So
list the mandates as of June 2nd.
Yeah.
So do you say screw it and just have open it back up?
Is that happening? June 2nd.
He had his press conference at 5:30
today, huh? Was that today?
Just a little bit ago.
Yeah, 5:30.
I did not see that. Well, that might maybe change things. So I have to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that. That's good news. Everything.
I think it is too. It's good.
Yeah, yeah, that's great news.
Give her a shot.
And again, I think we want to recognize the valedictorian and salutatorian.
Val, Hope Wendell, and the salutatorian, Ava Bupp.
Very good.
Nice job to those ladies.
Didn't make it again this year, Jack.
You know what?
Left you off.
That's 30 years in a row you haven't been the valedictorian.
If like 40 people wouldn't have shown up in my class, I would have been the valedictorian.
41. You're number 41.
Yes. I'd have had to have 55 of them not be there.
We had a graduating class of 104.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had a graduation class of 55. Yeah. If 54 of them hadn't shown up, I could have been the valedictorian.
So, Rocker's topic, Rocker's top 5 topic, okay?
Top 5, huh?
Top 5 school-related icons, okay?
Are we ready?
So, are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Is this all time or just now, for now?
Just, I think.
All time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. Okay.
So, did you include Tony Stahl?
Absolutely.
Hiring. Maybe number 6.
Top
number
6.
Maybe not top 5.
Yeah, top 6.
6.
Are you ready?
Okay. You get some chops.
Right,
he's Elvis.
Elvis looked to me.
If Elvis was, you know.
We can't hear
him. Well, I don't.
You don't have your headphones on. That's why you can't hear him.
I can control the mic.
I mean, I can hear him fine, Bob.
Yeah.
All right, let me hear him.
Let's settle down there.
Top 5.
Number 5, Pat Niekamp.
Pat Niekamp.
No.
What's that?
He sucked.
No, he doesn't. He was a great administrator, and he's pretty good at frying fish.
Is that because he catches more fish than you do?
Everybody. I catch more fish than Bob, and I haven't been fishing in 50 years.
No.
Pat Niekamp was here during the strike.
And?
What do you mean he was here during the strike?
He was a teacher during the strike.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't?
I don't think so.
No.
The strike was 1974.
I'll speak to the fish frying. That is good. Number one fish fryer.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. So that was a good one, but we like to argue with you anyway.
Yes. Okay.
Number four.
I can't believe he wasn't number one.
Let's see if we can slide through these a little faster.
Okay, sorry.
Because, you know.
We got nothing tonight. So
I can slide this, you know. Keep.
Yeah, we can discuss this.
Number four, Ed Snyder.
Yep.
He sucked.
No, he was awesome.
Ed?
No, yes.
Snyder? First of all, Pat was his boss.
Yeah.
So come on.
That was our best administration ever, including now, Tony. Sorry, that was great.
It's a good choice.
Yes, he was Rocker's neighbor.
Yes, and for a brief period, I saw him more than Beaver one year.
What?
Well,
oh, Beav Holman. Yeah. Oh, we were talking about Beav Holman earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Number three, and I know you're not going to disagree with this one.
I will.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I'll
Kathy Etzler.
Yeah, she should be number one. I'm disagreeing. She should be number one. So are you going to throw...
You're killing me here.
Yeah, she's awesome. She was...
Well, you know what, though?
She's number one.
I could argue that Chuck is just as worthy as Kathy. Yeah.
Put them both
maybe he's number one.
Team effort. Number three, the Etzlers.
Yeah. The Etzlers. You really messed that up, Rocker.
Chuck is a champion.
Yeah, you said we weren't going to disagree with him.
Chuck,
but we
Chuck
were,
coached. Yeah. He is coached great? Everything. He drove bus.
Just until a couple years ago. He's driving bus.
Coach me in 7th grade basketball. 11 points against Crestview.
Wow.
Banked in a side shot.
Banked in one from the side?
Hell of a game.
Wow.
Hell of a game.
Was that during halftime?
Bobby.
Ooh, somebody get better.
All right.
That's how Les Johnson started shooting at halftime. Saw Bubba.
Number two, Angelica Hines.
Angelica Shade Hines. She doesn't like to be Angelica Hines. She likes to be Angelica Shade
Hines. I don't do Hines.
Oh, well, she does. Yep. She's better than Chuck.
So why'd you pick her?
This is random. I'm just trying to fill time here.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we like Angelica a lot.
I'm here for blanks and giggles.
Blanks and giggles.
Okay.
Number one.
Well, I'm pretty sure you'll probably disagree anyways.
Yeah.
Mrs. Monroe.
Art teacher. Bev Monroe.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did she teach? Art?
Just for that reaction right there is well worth it.
So did you have her in art class?
Oh yeah. She loved me.
She did.
I'm gonna guess
you did abstract, even when you weren't trying to.
I was not one of her best students.
I don't remember ever seeing any art displays of any big displays of your art.
Probably what drove my grade point average down drastically. That and home ec.
Oh yeah, you did start your food on fire on your.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh,
he does have a good topic.
Yes,
good topic. You know, the icons of our school.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, we're older, so we can think back of...
Arthur Rose and Doc Konapke.
Lefty Dill.
Oh, yeah.
Schneider, the janitor. Guys like that.
Dale Schneider.
Helen Eisenberg.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about it. Yeah,
they all starved to death without her.
Yep.
Beck Rammel.
Yep.
Don Dwelling.
Yes.
There you go.
He was our band director.
You got to go, Roger.
He was the first band director anywhere
Mr.
around
Shoemaker.
Here.
He gave $1 million.
Yeah. Even without that, but Don Dwelling was the first band director in any competition that did not play a march.
Doug Johnson, the greatest.
We didn't play a march one year and got booed by the by some of the fans, and we got marks of zero from the judges because we did not play a march.
They were all Russians.
Jan Cook.
Nobody plays a march anymore.
I did not see you on the AB Otter.
Mr. Williams.
Yeah, Ernie Williams.
Williams taught everybody.
And he was, as far as I know, the only person in my lifetime that kept the book besides Bob.
Yeah.
That's two people in 60 years.
Yeah.
Dale Masker.
Did he for a while?
Dale was in there for a couple.
Yeah.
I missed that. But,
yeah. Rucker, excellent topic.
Yep.
Top notch, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Yep.
So, did you have something else?
Well, if we got time, I don't want to upset the apple cart any.
Gary got us mad.
So, what do you got there, Rocker?
Word association.
Uh-oh.
Are we ready for that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, are all of us in on this? Are we all just shout out answers? Or are we going to get
Tony? Let's start with Tony.
Okay.
Sorry, I just got to say a word that I think of when you say a word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tony, you get the what may sound like the low end of things, but it may be big. You may pop it.
I'm not sure.
A little scary.
I'm not sure how to take
it. Yeah. You never have any idea how he's going to help.
You ready for this?
No, I don't think so, but give it a shot.
Light bright? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think of black because it's one of those things you plug in. It's like a black. You plug it in, right? Yeah, and then you light it up. And it was always you put these little black pieces of black construction paper over the top, right?
You've never heard of that?
Light bright.
Never heard of light bright.
Old school toy, isn't it?
That's a toy of the 70s for crying out loud.
Yeah. It was like.
I was 30 in the 70s.
Thing where you electrocute yourself with a hot bake oven, easy bake oven. That's all we ever had in a basket.
We flipped the basket game, yeah.
Who wants to get number four?
Neil.
Oh, here we go. Evel Knievel.
Las Vegas, the jump the fountain.
Very good.
Buses at Kings Island.
He didn't quite make the.
Didn't make
Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Snake River.
Yeah, Snake River.
And I didn't quite.
The same side.
That wouldn't go very good for him. Number three.
Bob's turn.
Bob, you ready for this one?
Yeah, bring it on.
Oh, you'll love this one.
Okay.
Oh, God, I love this. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
How great thou art.
Yep.
Well, didn't see that one coming, but okay.
Yeah. What were you expecting him to say? Yeah.
The most beautiful version ever.
Yeah.
Well, with these two, for him and Bill,
I was going to say Hallelujah. The Hallelujah chorus, or whatever it's called. B?
Who gets number two?
B?
Yeah.
Carol O'Connor.
Archie Bunker.
Very good.
Yep.
Hey, you gave
racist.
An easy one.
Racist.
Can you imagine if that show was on right now?
No chance. I've been canceled 2 weeks into it.
Oh, no.
Incredible.
It's making fun of racists. So that'd be the cancel culture would love that.
Yep.
Well, that's probably not how they would see it today.
Number one.
Number one for Jack.
Who gets that?
Jack. Me.
Or unless you wanted to do it yourself, Rocker.
No, that's kind of pointless. I mean, I wrote the damn
well,
list.
Well, it's down to Jack,
wife
then.
Is in labor. Will you quit messing around?
You ready for this?
Pains are like 4.5 minutes apart. Mm.
So you're not having a kid. So settle down.
Boy.
Carl Malden.
Streets of San Francisco.
See, this is how someone says
flat nose.
Yeah, that nose. Flat. Light
bulb nose.
That thing's about the size of a football field.
Yeah, but it's flat.
Security or something? What was it?
Yeah. What was Carl Malden?
It was a commercial.
American Express, wasn't it?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
I don't remember. I don't remember. I think it was American Express. But
I think it was.
Or no, whoever does the travel chats.
So, guys, Tony's dancing over there like he's thinking, can American I just
Express
get the
American Express
traveler's
checks. Here? Good job,
my wife's going to be mad at me.
American Express traveler's checks.
We're out of here 6 minutes early.
Yeah, it's not really quarter after yet.
Having a baby.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know yet. She's probably wrestling our one down right now. So hopefully
he's got a 1 year old now.
He'll be two in August. He'll be two in August. He's a crazy person.
He's awesome. Yeah. I love watching him at the games.
Well, we just moved him to the big boy bed too. So that's been. Yeah, that was a big move. That's not going well. We're losing that battle, but we're trying.
Tony, I tell you what. Good luck with what's left of the school year.
Thank you.
Congratulations and thanks for you making it through and keeping the kids within those four walls. Do we have any idea, like, of the 600 high schools in the state, how many of them accomplished what we did
for the whole year?
They sent
something out at the beginning of the year when they were like geared up, like who's going and who's not, and it might have been 20%. Yeah. At that time, I don't know those numbers. I'd have to look that up. But we were definitely in the minority at the beginning of the school year. And then that number kind of continued to grow, obviously, as things,
As far as the number of schools that made it the whole whole year, I'll bet.
I don't know.
You know,
it can't be that many.
When, like, you look at this, probably three or four county area, I'll bet we had the
It's kind of deceiving a little bit. You know, you sit and you talk to people from, you know, Parkway or Quarter, and, everybody's in school. Yeah. And that is not the norm in Columbus or Dayton or anywhere around the state. So I think our version of reality is a little skewed with that. So it's definitely been an accomplishment for sure for our district and as well as the local area.
Well, thanks again for coming up. Good luck with things both at school and at home here in the next week or so. You got a lot going on.
A lot going on for sure. So I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for coming.
See you next fall.
Yep. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Stay tuned for Sports Talk with Bob and Fee and Rocker, I think, is the special guest.
Yeah.
And I think the topic is PGA golf. So Rocker's going to give some tips on golf. So stay tuned for that.
My tips are don't.
See you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.